that whoever loses has to be on our podcast.
Oh, God.
Bryant Caves, what are you doing? How you doing over there? You just came back from Boston, huh? What happened over there?
Yeah, wicked good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to the Harbor? Did you go to a Sox game? Did you get to see Pappy out there, Big Pappy, after you went to Dunkies? How was it? How was your trip out there? You went to see the Revolution. Did you get a happy ending there? How'd it go?
It was a lot of fun. We did go. We were in Boston. We went down to Providence for the day.
Oh, Providence. Okay.
Check
I'm
out.
Done. I'm sorry. I'm not doing the accent anymore. So you went to Providence for that.
Mine was more Minnesota than Boston. Hmm. So you know.
Hey, you hoser. You go to the. I got my sweater on. You ready to go to the hockey match? Hey?
Darn it! I'm cooperating here.
And now we're in Fargo.
Tan Sierra. No, it was a really good time. We went to the Sam Adams like tap room in Boston, which was pretty cool.
Are those people from the Sam Adams commercials? Do they actually work there in the
I didn't see any of them.
I might be thinking of the Grape Nuts employees at the factory. I think I was thinking of the Grape Nuts employees. Never mind. Continue. Oh,
that's fair. I was gonna say usually it's the owner, if anything, the founder, Jim Cook.
That rich effer is not going in the brew house.
No, not anymore. He's glad handing off somewhere. So we did that. We got some really good pizza, like this place that was voted best pizza in the country, apparently, in Boston, Regina Pizza.
Was it the best pizza you've ever had?
It was really damn good. I don't know if it's the best I've ever had, because I don't really know what the best I've ever had is.
That's true.
There's an old saying to me that pizza is kind of like sex.
Mm.
Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
Right. Right, for sure. No, that sounds great, man. That sounds like a good time. You were up there for what, Alyssa's birthday?
Yeah, we went up for Alyssa's birthday. We did went out to a Revs game. Mm. So that was pretty cool seeing seeing Gillette Stadium, and we hung out with shout out to the Midnight Riders.
Mm.
Just hung out with them for a little bit. They had a tailgate, made us feel right at home, and we toured the New England Patriots Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Which actually
was just a lot of Tom Brady pictures everywhere.
It was not much Tom Brady, actually. It was kind of off. I think they're a little upset with Tom. I mean, there was plenty of Tom, don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
I'll say this. It was cool. Like, I'm not a Pats fan. Obviously, I think most people, if you're not a Pats fan, you generally hate the Pats, but there was enough like 90s to early 2000s, like NFL nostalgia in there for me. Like, you know, seeing like a Terry Glenn jersey or something like that, where I was like, okay. I can get down with like a Terry Glenn jersey or something. Like, all right.
Even like a Drew Bledsoe is not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Drew Bledsoe was a good guy. So we did watch this. They had a movie, like a full theater in there with like a movie that played. It was like a 10 minute long movie, just like the history of the Patriots or something. Mm-hmm. But the funniest part, I was with a guy he's Irish. He's like from Ireland, moved here a couple years ago. Now he married into a family that's like from Boston. They're all Pats fans, all that. So he's kind of, but he's still like not really a Pats fan. So we just made fun of the video the whole time because it was like the most self-serious video I've ever seen. It was like
the NFL does that stuff all the time. The NFL is so guilty of like, oh, even the music, like everything they do is so amazing and historic.
The funniest part was like, it was like, all right, we're the New England Patriots. And just like the people of New England, we're strong and hardy and independent.
Oh, my
and
Lord.
It's like, here's some farmers saying how big a Pats fan. And here's some firemen saying, like, the one thing they didn't have, and I couldn't believe it, was troops. Like, I couldn't believe there wasn't one troop in this video. Like,
we spoke to this receptionist from a strip mall massage parlor. She's a Patriots fan
down in South Florida.
Oh my God, nothing good happens in South Florida.
Nothing. We went out to Cape Cod
Had Cape Cod. Oh, okay. Lobster. You have some lobster out there?
We didn't have lobster, or I didn't. We had some oysters and some clams and.
You're balling on a budget there. Did you see the Dropkick Murphys? Did you see them?
We did not, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
We did. I did hear shipping up to Boston at least once, unironically. So
unironically. Oh, it was just playing on like the radio.
It was just playing at a bar or something we walked by.
Of course it was.
I'm just like, it is a Thursday night with no sporting events going on. Like, why are you randomly playing Dropkick Murphys? Like, just shipping up to Boston. Like,
you're there.
Yeah.
What are you shipping up to? I'm here.
You've shipped there. What are you shipping across? You know, get on the subway and go across town?
Go
to Dunkies? We did go to Dunkies a couple times because, you know, you got to.
You have to, right? Because God forbid you go to the ones, you know, that are just down the street. Did you go to Fenway Park?
We didn't this time. I've been before.
You were there before. Yeah, because you left.
We hung out early
at Fenway last time you went. And then you heard from your Airbnb. You heard them when they hit a homer. Yeah, right. I remember that story.
Yeah.
I remember that one. See, I didn't forget.
Didn't forget. Yeah. You know, you got them. You know, you like apples?
I like them apples. Jeez. Well, it sounds like you had a great time. I'm really happy for you, Alyssa, to get away from the rigors of beautiful weather all the time and the hipster paradise that is Charlotte. It's nice to get to a real American landmark. But
your accent's great. I can't hear that accent and not laugh.
That's a lot of people hear me and just laugh. Might not be with me, but what are you gonna do? All right, let's get into the show. We're back outside of the Northeast. We can keep our normal accents and let's do the do.
Those are bad enough.
Deprivation. Oh my goodness.
I mean, deprivation too.
Yeah. What are we deprived of actually? We're deprived of nothing.
Self-esteem.
That's welcome to episode 100 and God knows how many. All right, let's go. Welcome, boys and girls, to Brian and Me, where a podcast we talk about soccer and other things, other podcasty things. Hey, this is Thomas and Brian. Welcome back to the show. It's been a few weeks, but we're back. Yeah, and we came to talk about just the best stuff you can ever imagine. Like, just kidding. Everything in this episode is bad, but our friendship is good. We're going to talk a little bit, not ad nauseum. We're going to talk about the Yates Report just a little bit because we haven't had a couple weeks on the show, but we are going to talk about the Chicago Red Stars response because there was a strong response, but is it strong? We're going to debate and we're going to discuss that. Oh, just a wee bit. I went from Boston to Ireland now. And by Ireland, I mean the Lucky Charms. That's me, Lucky Charms. They're magically delicious.
That's not too far a jaunt, really.
That's not. It's not a long trip there. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, just getting into the Red Stars. We're then going to cover the end of Major League Soccer for both Charlotte FC, the only Queen City that's acknowledged, and the Columbus Crew. I'm going to talk a little bit about some drama that happened today in the Crew world and some insight from somebody who has talked to the person involved in the drama quite a bit over the last year. So we'll get into that. We're also going to answer all your Ask Bam questions because you asked us ample Ask Bam questions, enough to make us decide we are going to do the segment tonight. So you did it. Congratulations. You have nobody to blame but yourself. But before we get started, instead of you Googling the scores, we're going to give you a rundown real quick of a couple of matchups that impacted us here in Brian and Me headquarters. And we're also going to talk about a little bet that was made between between Liverpool, Columbus Cop, LFC Columbus, and Columbus Spurs. So quick rundown. Tottenham won against Brighton Hove and Albion. How did that one look, Brian? Were you able to watch any of it?
I was, yeah. I actually watched the match from home from my couch. Mm. It was nice. It was, you know what, it was a good match, especially considering, I think, what the team went through that week. I don't know how much you heard about. They had a member of their staff who was their fitness, like their fitness coach, died of leukemia.
I did not hear that. That's awful.
Died, I think it came out Thursday morning. That he died of leukemia. Nobody, I know there were supposedly a few people that knew he was sick, but nobody had really knew he was even sick.
And he was just doing his job every day.
He was just doing his job, just doing his thing. And turns out, yeah, he had leukemia. I know the players, you know, Antonio Conte was very close with him. Him and Conte had been together for a long time. And then a lot of the players had gotten really, you know, really close with him and really bonded with him. So I know the players were really, really broken up over it. So for them to go, I would say, I hate throwing this word around for sports sometimes, but I think it was a brave, kind of a brave performance, like given what they were dealing with, like dealing with that kind of grief. And you could tell, like, they did a pregame, just round of applause. It was away. It was at Brighton. And their fans and their club were super classy about it. Did like a little video thing at the beginning, a little video tribute, and you know, all the fans clapped, and you could see a lot of the players kind of, you know, visibly just misty eyed. Conte was crying, and went through, beat a Brighton team that is probably, I think that's a good win.
Yeah, they're not a bad team this year.
That's a team that I think is probably gonna get at least a Europe spot this year. I don't think they're a top four club, but I think they're probably a top seven club. Like, I could see them finishing kind of in that top half of the league and potentially like pushing for Europe. So I think it's a good club. It's a good win. And there were a lot of emotions after the fact, obviously with the players and with the fans, and the fans were brought a lot of the away fans, the away Tottenham fans brought a lot of Italian flags and just really celebrating this person. And then, it was cool. Anyone that is has an Athletic subscription, highly recommend an article that Jack Pitbrook wrote. He covers Tottenham for the Athletic. Wrote this really good article that kind of starts as a discussion on just how the players kind of playing through that, and really ends up going more into just how people deal with grief. Really, really good article, one worth going out of your way to read if you read stuff in the Athletic. So it was really good article. Yeah, it's a big win. Like it was kind of brave of them to, you know, dealing with what they were dealing with, to go out and get that win on the road. So yeah, they go to Everton next weekend. So see what happens.
Dang, well, I know that. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, like, I don't know if anyone, or if you're watching, or anyone's watching, like, the Wrexham documentary. Now, this is a much smaller club, but it's a club that Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney purchased, and they kind of go behind the scenes. And again, it's a National League club, so it's a smaller club, but these folks are interacting every day. The trainers are talking with the players every day. There are probably players that come in there getting treatment all the time, and they talk to them and they get to know them, and they all work together. Like, you all have coworkers, and you all have people that you might see only at work, but you have a connection with them. Just because, you know, you don't see it all the time. You only really see trainers when they run onto the field when somebody's injured or something like that. Like, they have lives outside of it. And you can imagine, like, losing a friend, losing someone close, and then having to go out and play a game. So that's tough. Well, I'm good for them to get that win and in his honor, and kind of see where it kind of propels the team too, because we've seen teams in other sports. Like, I remember the Carolina Panthers back in the 2000s or so, where they rallied around them. They had a coach who was fighting cancer, and they rallied around
Ron Rivera. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It was a different, no, they actually lost a coach. It was a little early before Ron Rivera. Maybe.
No, that's right. Ron Rivera had cancer in Washington.
But this was this was another coach who they lost.
I remember who you're talking about.
And yeah, like stuff like that. It just motivates. It just brings people closer together. It kind of helps you realize what's important in life. And I know it's just a game, but when you're on the same page, it's a team game. And when you can be on the same page, and when grief brings people together like that, you know, other stuff can happen. Now, it's all frivolous. It's all sports. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's what they're paid to do. And if you want to do something well, or if you want to have a job, you should do it to the best of your ability. So we'll see what happens with the Spurs. Liverpool side, man. not anything close to that. They lost to Arsenal 3-2. It was 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, then 3-2. And Liverpool lost. They just seem off. I don't know what it is. They just seem off. And
you're seven.
It's this is only the second club he's this is the second major club he's been at. This is not Jose Mourinho. We talk about this heartfelt stuff and then you bring this garbage to it. Get out of here, Brian. Man, he's won more trophies with Liverpool than I think Tottenham might have won, like, period. Like, period. Not including preseason Audi Cups. Like, Klopp is, get out of here with that garbage. Well, Liverpool lost 3-2. Who cares? You're garbage, Brian.
Out of curiosity, did you watch the match?
I did. I watched.
What did you think of the Jesus penalty?
Well, I think Jesus is full of crap.
Yeah.
I think you saw this in Man City year after year after year. He is somebody who, you know, the gravity triples when he's inside the box. And that's not being called on Mo. That's not being called on other players. People say, oh, Mo flops and blah, blah, blah. He hasn't had a call go his way, honestly, in like 3 years. Gabriel Jesus does that garbage. And then the commentators, Peter Drury and whoever is with him, I forget. He's still not as bad as Arlo White. I still like Peter Drury better than Arlo White. But they're like, oh, Gabriel Jesus. He's like a boxer out there. He's taking punches and he's giving punches. He's such a tough player. Like, have you ever watched Gabriel Jesus? Have you ever watched him before? No. Anyway, either way, it did look like Liverpool is a team. Like, they're just disjointed. Mo Salah looks like a shell. He got his contract, and now he's just like, going to the bank. I got my contract. I don't got to do anything anymore. It's Luis Diaz's team, and he can't do it alone. Jordan Henderson is looking older and older in the midfield. You're still putting James Milner on for substantial minutes. The only kind of bright spots this year, Bobby Firmino, he looks like he's come alive. He's come alive after a couple subdued seasons under, you know, Mane and Salah, not really doing them a whole lot. And now Luis Diaz even got hurt right before halftime. So
he's in doubt till like after the World Cup, right?
I did not see any reports, but thank you for that ray of sunshine for our podcast tonight. So it's all great. Everything is perfect. The World Cup race,
it's wonderful.
Can't come soon enough. I'll tell you that much. And then also, USA lost to England 2-1. I watched the match, most of the match. I'm going to say, even though USA lost, the four-time World Cup champions, they lost to England. If that's England catching up, I'm not too worried. I think Megan Rapinoe may be not be an every match starter for the United States. I think she might be better coming off the bench. I think she might be better as a leader coming off the bench and giving the team a spark. But if Mal Pugh was there, I think if you had Mal Pugh in place of Megan Rapinoe, USA has chances. And I think their goal that was called offside against Trinity Robin actually got the goal, but there was offside earlier. That was garbage. There's no angle that shows that person was offside. I think it was a lot of, it was like a Euro celebration match. And it was a lot of, I think it was pandering. I think it was pandering to the home crowd.
Little home cooking. I mean, English. They're English, so they don't use salt or any seasoning, but
that's true. So it was home disgusting cooking. And winning 2-1, against USA that way, it's whatever. And also, honestly, a lot of those players on the US team, like, they were part of, not in the Yates report, but they're a part of the NWSL. So this was a few days after that report comes out. You have to imagine things are pretty heavy. Yeah. All the questions in the press conference leading up to the match, or instead of the match, which is huge, USA versus England, that's a huge match. Haven't really seen it since like the T incident. Really. So the Alex Morgan moment, but this, I don't put a lot, it's an exhibition match. So of course a losing team is going to say that, a fan of a losing team is going to say that, but I'm honestly not like super afraid of England after that match. I think if you start your best side against them, like Hayley Mace was bad. Megan Rapinoe was not great. Sophia Smith was amazing because she's Sophia Smith. Trinity Rodman looked good. She looked great out there. I think when you have like Tierna Davidson back for the World Cup, her and Naomi Girma. That's going to be a really formidable center back combination. I think the midfield was just kind of rough. I don't know why you don't maybe bring in a Mogatro maybe in the beginning of the year in 2023 when you have your early season, early year camp. I think she's somebody who came back into the team this year. If you're aching for midfield help, bring in the Butcher. I mean, she could play center, she can play defensive mid, and she can help boss the midfield for you. You need somebody who's going to be able to do that. Yeah. So I'm not overly worried about it. It did really make me excited for the Women's World Cup. Like, I'm not going to watch any of the Men's World Cup this year. I'm pumped for next year's World Cup. I am like, it was great watching it. Even though they didn't come out on top, it was still fun watching it.
I do need to call one person out with regards to this. I'm going to call out our friend Homer here because you and I,
oh my gosh, and Homer don't share give this any.
We share a group chat. Give this
any podcast attention. Anyway, go ahead. Just do it.
And he's sending us like GIFs of the England flag. And
oh my God, get the hell out of here.
You know, if you like England so much, why don't you move there?
Never trust a golfer. That's what I always say.
This is
America. Never trust a golfer. You fish and chips and you salty son of a bee sting. You can get that garbage out of here. Why don't you go watch Doctor Who? How about that? Why don't you go watch some Doctor Who?
Yeah, I like Doctor Who. since we lost this match, does that mean we get their healthcare system? I think that was the bet that you and I
we did mention that, so we're waiting. Our people will happily take your call.
That NHS is coming in any minute now.
If you have some Tory scum over there wanting to get rid of NHS, we'll take it. Send it to us. We'll take it.
We'll take your secondhand NHS.
Oh, forget. We'll take diet NHS. It's better than what we have here. I started watching Dope Sick, and there's no way you can tell me that the system is working in the United States at all. Oh, it's so disgusting. If you haven't seen it, Michael Keaton, it's a really good show.
It's just not who it's working for.
Oh, it's working for the people who, you know, they wanted to work for. Real quick before we're done with the rundown, which is not more like a walk down. We didn't go through that very quickly. We made a bet. Well, we facilitated a bet. Last time Liverpool women and Tottenham women played against each other, we did a bet with Columbus Spurs and LFC Columbus that the loser had to wear each other's kit. It was not a bet that really impacted us, but we started it. I had to read some garbage about that jerk, that bag of teeth with a body. I don't know. I'm disgusted thinking about what I had to say. So we facilitated a bet with them where the loser, this might be the worst bet that we've done. I feel guilty almost for doing it to them, but no. The loser has to have a representative from their club come on to Bryant and me for an episode.
Oh God.
I feel dirty. They're going to feel a lot dirtier than we do though, after the episode's over.
I don't know if the stakes have ever been higher for a game.
And the winning team gets to write a statement for the losing team to read on the show. So yeah, it's going to be something interesting. I'm pretty excited for that. We don't know who the representatives are. This is a bet that just happened today, but Sunday, these two sides are going to face off in their first WSL match since like 2019, something like that. So it's going to be exciting. I can't wait for it.
What happens in the event of a draw?
Nothing. Everyone is, both of the teams are like, or both supporters groups are thanking their lucky stars that they didn't have their team lose.
They're both just like, they're somehow the players are just going to walk out on the pitch at the game and just shake hands and be like, all right, draw. All right.
Bullet dodged.
We're not making anybody go on that damn podcast.
No. So let's move into now. We just talked about US women's national team. We just talked about the WSL. Let's bring it back to America and get into the unfortunate topic that is the Yates Report. If you have not seen anything about the Yates Report, if you haven't heard anything about the Yates Report and you're listening to our podcast, how did that happen? But the Yates Report was Sally Yates, former deputy attorney general, did an investigation for the third party company that she works for now with US Soccer, with NWSL, looking into only three coaches, looking into Christy Holly with Racing Louisville, looking at Richie Burke of Washington Spirit, and looking at Rory James of Chicago Red Stars. Only in a report of three coaches, they found egregious, you know, abuse. Portland, Chicago, Louisville, excuse me. Washington was not part of it. Portland, Chicago, Louisville, pardon me. They found rampant kind of abuse from coaches. They found cover-ups from most of these, all three of those teams. They also found that none of the teams cooperated, even though publicly we will cooperate with an investigation. None of them cooperated with the investigation. It took Chicago 9 months to get the documents they requested, 9 months to get them. They talked about Chrissy Holly and NDAs that he had signed with the team when he was doing this stuff, like before he was fired, before they parted ways. And in the Racing Louisville response, they say, thank you for your time with the team or some bullshit like that. And then you find out from this report that he had a player, Erin Simon, who I actually interviewed last year for an article just about her career, because she played in England. She came over here. In the report, there's a little graphic. If you need to pause the show or fast forward it, that's fine. I'm not going to go into detail or anything, but he was abusing her in film sessions. Like every time that she did something wrong in the film session, he would abuse her like physically. And this is the person that they thanked for his time. And none of the Racing Louisville employees could say anything. They were coached up by the team, coached up by lawyers. This is only three teams. Arnhem Whistler knew about abuse allegations back in 2014, and he's known about them since. It was a hostile work environment, not just for players, but for employees who worked for the team. In Portland, anything with Mona Shim and Sinead, I forget her name, excuse me, the two of them who were abused by Coach Paul Riley, and how even Merritt Paulson, the owner of the Thorns, told when Paul Riley's next employer came how great Paul Riley was and how great of a hire it was after he under the radar fired him, let him go from the team. So it was just really disgusting stuff. ESPN did a 30 or an E60 investigation about it called Truth Be Told, which didn't go too far into the Yates report. It kind of talked about stuff that if you read the Athletic article from Meg Linehan, if you read the Washington Spirit article from Molly from the Washington Post, you already knew a lot of the stuff. I think it was just a new audience because you have ESPN, you have a different audience it goes to. But I did a whole episode on Women's Sports Matter. We did a live show last week with Gianna Belcastro. They've been on the show a few times. They're good friends of the pod, members of the BAM fam. Also, they're going to post the full back and forth on the Women's Sports Matter podcast this week. So if you missed it last week, if you want to listen to us talk about it, we go into a lot more detail, but we want to talk about what's happened specifically with the Red Stars, because we are a Red Stars centric podcast. When we're talking about the NWSL, we're usually either talking about how horrible Gotham is, or we're talking about what's going on with the Red Stars. I'll tell you, Sunday night when they faced off against Angel City, I, for the first time in a while, I watched a match and I felt the implications, and I was really excited to watch it, and I didn't feel dirty to watch it. They ended up beating Angel City 2-0, which they made into the playoffs. Playoffs haven't started yet with the international break, but then the next day the Yates report comes out. Since then, Arnhem Whistler said, I'm going to back away for a little bit just as the investigation's complete. Then another statement soon after that, the board of directors is like, no, you're off of the board of directors, Arnhem, and we're going to run the ship now. And then today they made an announcement that they have found interim replacements for the board of directors and the chief business officer. So it sounds like all good things, right? It sounds like Arnhem, who's known about this stuff, he knew. He hired Rory Dames, no background check, has heard the allegations from the youth system, where he kind of worked with younger kids, said stuff that should not be said to younger kids, and kind of groomed some kids to the point when they were 18, he had sex with them. As a youth coach, as the head of a youth organization.
These are children.
Arnhem knew about it, and also stuff just within his own team. Kristen Press was vocal about it. We saw that in the report right after the NWSL title game, where she was traded out of retribution and players have been treated poorly. And Arnhem knew. And now we found out from the Yates report that employees knew. So our employees were also abused, not just by Rory, but just in the organization. There was no way to kind of police that kind of behavior, or not even police behavior, protect people, which is what it ultimately goes down to. But Chicago today made the decision that they were moving away from Arnhem. But what is absent from all of this is none of it says Arnhem is selling the team. In the statement, I think it was the statement where they moved him out of the board of directors. Let's go ahead and read. I'm going to find the statement. I'm not going to read the statement, but they do talk about getting to a point where removing him, future participation in the club. And then today, it was not from a club statement, but it was a player statement. I saw it from Alyssa Nair. I don't know if you saw any of the player statements that went out here. But Alyssa Nair had a long, long statement. I'm not going to read the entire thing to you folks because you can go online and you can read it yourselves. But part of it is when we heard from that Washington Post report about Arnhem and Rory, we were assured by Arnhem that he did not know about it. And even in the article, even in the thing, it said, we were dubious about Whistler's assertion. They were dubious. They weren't even believing him when he said he didn't know about it, because Alyssa Nair, other players, they've been in this team for a long time. Like, this yeah. is not their first season in the NWSL, the first season with Chicago Red Stars. It wasn't until the report was released that the extent of his dishonesty became clear. We are united with the board of directors in their decision to remove him from the organization and look forward to finding a new majority owner who can help us realize the full potential that we have players have always knew existed for this club. So you have to kind of piecemeal it together. But if you look at her statement, which is coming from the team together,
right?
If you look at the Chicago Red Stars statement, which doesn't officially say he's being moved out of ownership. And then if you see multiple players, like you can go on their Instagrams, they're probably not there anymore, but multiple players came out on their social media and they shared posts about Arnhem needs to sell the team. Kelly O'Hara, or excuse me, Becky Sauerbrunn had a statement that Merritt Paulson, her owner, her boss, and Arnhem Whistler are not fit to own teams. And multiple Red Stars players, from starters to bench people, shared that post like, no, you need to sell the team. So if you piece all that together,
yeah,
it feels like it's on the horizon. But at this point, Brian, what are you kind of thinking about hearing all this and seeing what's going on with everything?
I think, first of all, like, it confirms what we kind of already suspected. Again, I think like what Alyssa Nair said, that they were, you know, kind of dubious of the claims that Arnhem was making, that, you know, he didn't know what was going on and he hadn't heard about these allegations and things like that. He clearly, everyone that heard it was like, this guy's full of shit. Like, come on.
This isn't a large organization. These are small teams.
No. Like,
news travels fast. Everyone knows what's happening in the team. Everyone.
You know, yeah. So you've got that going on. And then to read, you know, to read kind of what you talked about and then to read the report, I mean, it becomes clear that he knew about it. He knew what you said about the things you just read about him grooming children. Mm-hmm. And abusing verbally, physically, children. These are children. Like, it shouldn't happen to anyone. God knows it shouldn't happen to anyone. But man, these are children.
Yeah.
Like, the man's a predator.
It's sick.
The man is a predator.
Him and Chris Yali should be like,
they should be litigated.
They should
be in prison.
Arrested.
They 100% should be. And not only did Arnhem clearly know that this was going on,
mm-hmm.
he did nothing about it.
Nothing.
And allowed, not only that, but he allowed this person to stay in this organization and to continue. Like, the abuse that a lot of these people faced during this time, that's on him. Like that's that, that blood, you know, for lack of a better word, is on his hand, is on his hands. Like he facilitated players being harmed, being abused physically, verbally, sexually. He's a piece of garbage. I mean, he's a vile piece of crap and should not own this team moving forward. You know, I don't know what it's going to take for that to happen. I mean, I don't know if the players are they willing to boycott game? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it's going to take for him to be removed from the team. I don't know if that would do anything. I don't know if the players will do that, or if they even really should do that. Like, you know, that's ultimately up to them to decide. I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't do any of that, but it's like, if this doesn't facilitate, and I know, fuck, I feel like I've said this 100 times too, if this doesn't change things, then what will? Like,
I said this on the video with G, and I didn't say this as I hope it happens, but if you don't fix it, if you don't do what needs to be done, if you don't correct it to where these players feel safe, the league shouldn't exist.
No.
Like, I don't want it to fold, but I think at a point now you have, like, the USL is coming up and they're going to start the Women's Super League in the USL, where it's going to be a pro league, but it's going to be like tier 2, division 2. This is the first time now we're going to have 2 professional women's soccer leagues at the same time. Not competing against, one's going to be a lower division than the other. It's kind of like MLS and USL is today, but you're in the position. Could USL step up? I don't know. And will they even protect the players any better than NWSL will? How are you, like, if you're going into it strictly for money and not looking at player safety, man, it's tough.
It's again, and something else, obviously the abuse that these players have dealt with is the worst thing, but I think it's 2 people who want this league to do well,
right?
Want it to do well, doing it the right way, obviously. Want it to do well, but more than anything, want these people to be safe. It's unfortunate that, again, this is what we're talking about, right? Regular season just ended. We're headed for the playoffs. I think it's going to be kind of a wide open race. Like, I think there are a few teams you could make a case for, and you never know. Like, playoff play in a single game, especially in the sport of soccer.
Right.
Anybody can beat anybody on a given day.
I mean, Chicago beat Portland in Portland last year without Keeley Awat, with Malpeau leaving the game early. Like, that doesn't happen.
So you've got,
I shouldn't even play last year. God, I forget. Yeah.
You know, generally ESPN, for instance, is not going to cover the NWSL very much. They just don't. So the only coverage, again, that people are hearing about the NWSL is this shit.
Yeah.
It's how the league has basically been a vehicle for abuse. And that's what it's been. I mean, it's literally been something that has existed so that people in positions of power could abuse other people and make money off of it.
It's sad. Like, this is what we end up talking about. The only, I think, saving grace for the NWSL right now, the only thing I think it's really going to push them to the moment where they make change, is that now you have sponsors who are, not even just like Budweiser came out and they made a statement. Other companies have made statements. In Racing Louisville side, like Sherwin-Williams, they came out and said, we're pulling. All right, we're done. We're not sponsoring the team anymore.
Right, and these are large.
That needs to happen.
This is not Bob's used cars down the street. These are Fortune 500, like, large companies with a lot of money and a lot of say and a lot of power. Too much, but that's another conversation to have for another day. Mm-hmm. Nationwide. Is a large company. It's a company that I've worked for in the past. You currently still do. Sorry, we can edit that out if you don't want people to know that.
we've talked about it before. It's all good.
They have a large stake in you know, they've put some money, some sponsorship money toward the NWSL. So, you know, is a company like that going to want their name associated with stuff like this? Like, it's getting to a point where, yeah, I mean, I don't want the league to fold, but at the same time, if they can't do this the right way, then somebody's got to step in and do something.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, again, this has been the other stories. I don't think they made it outside of the soccer orbit, but we're certainly not front page news. I think when you've got Sally Yates, obviously being a former deputy AG under the Obama administration, you've got someone that people know who they are and knows. And this is, you know, ESPN is talking about this. I've seen clips of them talking about it on SportsCenter. I've seen clips of them talking about it on Around the Horn, Part of the Interruption. These like shows that people do pay attention to, people do watch. And so I'm hoping that the more public that this is getting out to the broad general public, if only for the hope that will maybe facilitate the change that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't, then I don't know what will.
Yeah. So I mean, time will tell. It does sound like, at least on the Chicago end, the gears are turning. But Merritt Paulson can't own a team. Arne Whistler can't own a team. In Louisville, they need to change a lot of the higher leadership there, because I know the owner there is not, I'd say, as hands-on as Arnhem and Merritt Paulson are with their teams. I don't know enough about the structure to speak educated on it, but you need to get the bad actors out. They need to be done. You can't survive like this. So it's – well, anytime we talk about the NWSL, like you said, it's just this, and it's exhausting.
Well, and you know, with Merritt Paulson, not only does he own the Thorns, but he also owns an MLS team.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's going on in that organization? There's a youth academy associated with a lot of these and a lot of these MLS clubs as well.
All of them do. All of them. Yeah. So it's required.
So
yeah.
What is, if this is what he allowed under his watch and essentially facilitated by doing nothing, he's complicit in everything that happened. What's, can you trust him to own an MLS club?
He fires people who are part of the report, who were a part of the original Athletic article. He doesn't fire him until after the Yates report. After the guy's like, okay, he's not going to do this stuff anymore. The guy, Gavin, whatever his name is not going to do stuff for the team anymore. And then, oh, we did our own internal investigation. He's back to doing whatever he wants now. And then a few weeks later, the Yates report, like, okay, we're firing them. Like, no, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. You can't disbelieve you can't say, oh, everything is good, we're good. And then all of a sudden, when the same stuff comes out again, for this time from an individual report, you're like, oh yeah, this is bad. We're going to get rid of these people. No, you need to be the one who got rid of, because you're the one who's running all of it. You're the one in charge of everything. It's bad. I hope here after the season's over that it can maybe get done faster, you know, like that. It's probably hard to do now as matches are going on and as people are talking about stuff like this. But yeah, man, something's got to change.
Yeah.
Something's got to change. All right, let's talk about, well, something did change in the MLS. Bryant, Charlotte and Columbus, long, long heated rivals.
Mm.
Yeah, they played each other last Wednesday. Crew were up 2-0. And as the Crew do, they gave up two goals and it was a 2-2 draw. Going into the final match of the season, how did Charlotte end up faring? Who did they play?
So that game, the draw with Columbus kicked us out. So we were out of the playoff contention, which I think, given how we were projected to do this season, given the fact that we fired our coach halfway through the season, given the fact that, you know, at some points this team was left for dead, I think the fact that they were in playoff contention all the way through the end, I think anyone that's realistic, that's a fan of this club, we are absolutely thrilled.
No one expected it.
They showed a ton of fight. They showed a ton of, guts to, even in that last game where they're playing for their lives, to come back from a 2-0 deficit to you know, tie it up. Like, at least they went, I think the general consensus was at least they went down, they kind of went down swinging.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you didn't just stand there and take strike three. You swung as hard as you could and, hey, you whiffed, but you know, that's
they fought back. They fought back from two goals down in the last game, like the last game that mattered. But did they win? Who was their last match?
They played at New Jersey Red Bulls.
Oh, and they lost, right?
They lost 2-0. Yeah, I mean, it was clear, like, they're already eliminated. That game mattered to the Red Bulls because it clinched them home field in the first round because it gave them the four. Charlotte, I don't know how much they really wanted to be there at that point.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty lackluster thing. I mean, I think they, especially after this disappointment of coming up short, I think they were just kind of ready to pack it in for the season.
Yeah. I mean, firing a coach, losing players like you did all season, injuries and all that, the drama that kind of came with the first coach, it was a surprise to a lot of people. But the one match that really mattered in the Eastern Conference, like really, really mattered yesterday, Cincinnati and DC, there were implications, but DC is a wet blanket on the field this season. So should have known that Cincinnati was going to come out and beat them down. But it was Columbus versus Orlando. Columbus needed a win or a draw to move on. And when people hear, oh, Columbus needs a draw, people are like, oh, yeah, there's a really good chance that Columbus is going to make the playoffs. Yeah. Because they 16 draws in the year. 16 draws in a 34-match season. Almost half of their matches this season ended in a draw. And in this match,
drawing Jesse's, let me tell you.
Right. They up until this match, they gave up 21 points from winning positions. Teams came back from losing positions to gain 21 points. It's not even the worst. Cincinnati was 27 for the year, but Columbus just didn't win matches. That was their problem. 16 draws, 10 wins, only 8 losses. They have 8 losses. They have the second fewest amount of losses in the Eastern Conference. And they, against Orlando, they were up 1-0. Going into halftime, up 1-0. No realistic Crew fan thought the lead was safe. Going into the second half, even the beginning, like the first half, Orlando didn't look like a team that needed to win to make the playoffs. Even in the second half, they didn't look like a team that had a lot of urgency. Orlando was kind of just still like doing their thing. And I think it's because they knew who they were playing. They knew that they were playing a Crew team that is susceptible to giving up late goals. 56 minute, Junior Urso just does a quick. Jonathan Mensa goes into tackle, a play that he makes all the time. Urso makes one move, gets around and turns. The quickest turn and shoot, and it wasn't even a hard shot. He just finessed it because he knew that room can't dive completely to get this ball. He finessed it right into the side of the post. Orlando goes up 1-1. It's drawn 1-1 with 30 minutes left. Way too much time left.
Yeah, way too much.
Way too much time. Cucho for Columbus, he looked like he was trying to put the team on his shoulders. Looked like he was trying to do everything himself. He had the most shots on the field, but only one of them was a really, really good chance that Galise, the goalkeeper for Orlando, stopped. Every other one was kind of like, sure, it's a shot on target, but it's easily stopped, or he rushes it, or he forces it, and he shoots it wide and stuff like that. They have, on the eye test and in the paper, in the statistics, but matches aren't played on paper. They aren't playing statistics. Columbus, look, they were the better team. And this is the storyline. If you listen to this pod like 4 months ago, or if you listen to it 6 months ago, I could say the exact same thing. And it would apply to most Crew matches this year. Columbus is up. They look like the better team. They're getting shots on goal. They're owning possession. Their defensive actions are great. And they just, I don't know what's in their brains. Like psychic, like their psyche is completely ruined. at the end of matches where mentally this goes back to the second match of the season.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it's mental. I think they're, it sounds like they're domed up. Like
they were up 3-1 against the San Jose Earthquakes. Not a good team, a bad team. They're up 3-1 in the second match of the season. And in the last like 5 minutes, they allow San Jose had 35 points on the season. Excuse me. Only Toronto and DC had worse seasons than San Jose. They came back in the second match of the season. And since then, it just kept going. Columbus would win a match here or there, but it was never consistent. They would get a lot of draws. They weren't losing on the road a lot. This match on Sunday was only their third road loss of the season. Because in the, I think it was, 83rd minute, go to take a shot. Milos Deganek is in the box. His hand is up as the ball goes in for a shot, goes off his hand. VAR check, penalty kick. Ale Room has not saved a single penalty kick since he joined the crew in 2019. He dove the right direction. Probably if he stretched his arm, I don't know if he dove like a half second earlier, he would have gotten it, like a millisecond earlier would have gotten it. It was that close. Orlando goes up 2-1. Columbus can't find a goal. Columbus loses. After the match in the press conference, it was virtual. I was not in Orlando. We do away matches like on Zoom. It was not a normal press conference. I asked about something on the field because it is a press conference. It's not the end of the season press conference. It's a press conference about the match. So we asked him match questions. You could tell he wasn't feeling it. There was no emotion left in him. At the end, like somebody thanked him for answering his question. And he was just trying to say thank you back to the media in there, like 4 or 5 of us who were in there. And he got choked up. Like he couldn't even finish his sentence. This is at the end of the press conference. Yeah. I think I had me and another person had a question, but I think we both like lowered our hands at that point. Cause they're like, this is somebody who's defeated. This is somebody who's just like, you could feel the frustration over the last few months. It was to the point where he even said in one press conference, I've tried everything. I've tried changing substitutions. I've tried changing tactics. I've tried doing different stuff. I've tried, trying to change things on the field to stop these late goals. But he's even like, he was at the end of his like wits.
Yeah.
Wits. He didn't know what to do. You bring in a brand new striker. You have Lucas Zelarayan, who's great. You bring in a center back who's played in Europe, who played in the Champions League, played internationally. You have Jonathan Mensa back there. You have the highest paid goalkeeper in the league. And this is what happens. In the press conference, he was also before at the end, he was emotional like right at the end and then we stopped it. Then the press conference was over. He's like, I have a year left. And I intend on keeping it. There have been no conversations with the front office about what's next. As far as I know, I'm the coach and I'm going to stay here next year. And, it falls on me. I'm the coach. It falls on me. I'm the reason that it happened. The buck stops here and blah, blah, blah. He's like, I live, breathe and eat this team. Like I'm working all hours every day. I put everything I have into it. And you can't argue him. Like I don't, sure. Folks on Twitter will sure try the trolls who are trying to get Twitter points. But listening to him, every press conference, listening to him at the training center, listening to him after every match, he's not somebody who's half-assing anything. He never half-asses anything. When he was a coach for Portland, when he left Portland in 2017, he didn't just take a job immediately. He didn't try to get back into it. He was exhausted. He puts everything he has into a team. Then whenever he gets fired or leaves the team. He won a cup with both teams, actually won an MLS cup with both of them. I think he's just exhausted. And you can tell he's just, his heart felt broken yesterday. And today, Columbus Crew kind of, I guess you could even say in a word, put him out of his misery.
I was going to say, took him out behind the barn.
Today they fired him. If you're going to fire a coach, it should be the day after the end of the season. You shouldn't hold this off. You shouldn't make it. No. You shouldn't have speculation. If anything, they did what they should have done. if they were going to fire him. Honestly, if you would have asked me halfway through the season if they were going to fire Caleb, I would say, hey, he's going to get fired if they don't make the playoffs. As they got closer, as they're still getting results, and they have some things, you know, not go their way. They had a big comeback victory against New York last weekend. I thought, okay, they just got Cucho with like 16, 17 matches left of the season. Not even the full season. Close to half the season, right around half the season. But are they going to give Caleb more time? Are they going to give him like a short leash going into next season and say, hey, we have the talent. We have the team. We spent the money on the players. We think you can get there. If you have a full preseason with Cucho, you have a full preseason with this team together, you can do it. I thought maybe that could have happened, but I wasn't shocked either.
Yeah.
When they said that he was fired. Fortunately, I didn't see a lot of people showing their behinds about it online. There were some folks who, you know, are circling around. Yay, I'm so happy that he was fired. Like somebody who has a wife and he's got kids and he's got a family, and now he's going to maybe have to move all of his family. He's going to have to uproot them again. And it's a results driven game. So nothing is personal about it. It's just it. I don't have emotions either way. I'm not like super sad. I'm not anywhere close to excited about it. I'm just like, I guess it had to be done. This is the one season that I could put any blame on him. I don't blame 2019. They were so injured. They had rookies playing that season. It was the first season he was there. He didn't have his team yet. 2020, he wins MLS Cup. Well, the season was short because of COVID and blah, blah, blah. It was short for every team. Every team went through COVID. Every team was going through it, and they won. They were able to fight through adversity. Even 2021, I thought, man, they can't keep anybody healthy. They're not playing the same lineup. They didn't play the same lineup once at all in 2021. They didn't repeat any lineups once, like any lineups twice, excuse me. So this year was the one year where I could go, yeah, I could see this being Caleb Porter's fault. I could see this being the reason that the team didn't succeed. But you talk to some folks, and maybe this is my problem looking at stuff online, but there have been some folks who have been Porter out since 2019. So people have just not liked him since they hired him. I think there's some sort of subconscious vendetta against him because he coached the 2015 Timbers, who won in Columbus the MLS Cup. Maybe there's just some angst there from, you know, mom's basement kind of bottom feeders out there. But I wasn't shocked either way. If they would have kept him, I know it would have made a lot of people angry, but also it kind of doesn't always matter what the supporters think. I know crew supporters don't like hearing that. It really depends on what the team thinks is the best move, and there's the one spending the money, and it's their, you know, it's their whole thing. But yeah, it's whatever. I'll tell you after the match yesterday, because it was the last match that I was covering for Massive Report. I'm still going to have like articles. I'm sure I'll write stuff every now and again. I'm not going to be paid for it anymore, but if I have ideas, I'm going to write them, you know. But sure. It was like, oh, like I could, like my shoulders went down a little bit. I could take a deep breath. Like, man, like it's over.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a sad thing either. It wasn't, I came to terms a while ago that I want the crew to be with my friends. I want to be able to hang out with them. I want to take my kids to matches. We went to the Crew 2 match actually on Saturday.
The Fighting Cappies.
Yeah, against Archie in St. Louis 2. St. Louis City 2. Beat them real good, like 4-1. That was a lot of fun. Oh, so I knocked over my microphone.
Okay.
I'm fine. Microphone fell over. I'll edit that out. Maybe I won't.
No, I'll leave it in.
Oh no, we'll just keep it. So it was fun taking. That was the first time I've ever taken them to a match. First time I've ever taken them to the stadium, which was really cool. We've gone to so many Mount Frey or Historic Crew Stadium matches. It's going to be nice to actually go to matches next year and be like with the team, with my kids, and they're watching the team. Is not like not in the Nordic, not in the media area, just enjoying time together.
Yeah. No, I saw the pictures. Yeah, it looked like you guys had a good time all in your matching outfits. And on your crew gear, and it was
I
say matching out. You weren't like all wearing the exact same thing. No,
I think they had crew scarves. The girls had crew scarves. Me and Jay were both wearing like hats, but yeah, I got you. No, it was. We were it was ended up going for free because one of the players bought tickets for people and we got free tickets. So we bought like I bought them like stuffed animals and we got food and stuff, and it was a good time. It was fun. It doesn't hurt whenever your team does well too.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So just out of curiosity, because my finger hasn't been on the pulse in Columbus now for a while. You know, I've joined another fan base and I'm a trader and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think, because I one of the things I'd seen people, the few Columbus related people either interacting with, was that he'd lost the locker room. Do you think that was the case, or do you think that was just kind of people saying things just to say them?
I think for folks who are nowhere close to the locker room, they just like to say stuff. I think it sounds sure. good for that. On the field, it didn't look like people were giving up on plays. I think there's sometimes you can look at, say, like Darlington Nagby in one of the matches. He's kind of slow to close in on a guy, but even he's not as quick as he once was. He's good at passing and maneuvering, but on defense, he's not really contributing as much inside the penalty area, say he even did 2 years ago. I don't buy it. I don't buy that piece of it. No, I don't think that's a thing. I think you have players who look like they wanted to win. Soccer's not an easy game.
No.
It's not like, I know we watch Premier League and we see Man City and we see them scoring tons of goals and stuff. And MLS is not the Premier League. MLS is a lot more even. These matches can go either way. And we're finding out now that even the smallest mistakes will turn into goals. Now, next year, do we see the same team do all the same players do a lot better? Maybe that's it. But right now, like for me watching every match and talking to folks in the locker room, like no one looks like they didn't want to be there. Okay. Everyone looked impacted by the loss. Again, that's just folks like making up their own storylines when they have nothing to base it off of. Unless they're talking to a player, unless they know players or something like that. That's cool. Like people know people, but I haven't seen like, you don't see players angry with each other. This is not like a Jose Mourinho third year thing where folks on the field are just obviously not trying to play to their best ability. Like they're, if you watched yesterday, Cucho and Lucas were pissed. They were trying, like they were picking the team, trying to pick the team up by themselves and do everything they could to will a ball into the back of the net.
Yeah.
The players who don't want to play for a coach are not trying that hard or do not look that defeated at the end of a match. So I think that's, pardon my French, total bullshit. I think that's bullshit right there.
So, yeah, I mean, so Columbus was looking for a coach. Charlotte coached the half the season with an interim. There's been no indication one way or the other.
Hire him. I hope
what Charlotte's going to do. I hope they hire him too. I think given where the team was and where they finished, I think he's earned the right to get a shot. Uh-huh. That'll be interesting to see like what direction Columbus decides to go. Like, do they go after somebody who's like a proven name, somebody, or they go after try and find a young up and comer type guy? Do they try and find somebody who's had a cup of coffee in Europe somewhere? Big Sam Allardyce is.
Oh my god! Don't bring it to. He was like fraud. He like frauded at the U.S. like the England national team. Excuse me.
I mean, Steve Bruce was sacked by West Brom today. So, Steve Bruce.
People want to use the Crew 2's coach, Laurent Courtois, as like, oh, you need to move him up. And he even said that during the year because snarkily, like, oh, you should be the coach, Crew 1. Like, everyone thinks they're waxing away at some amazing tweet that no one else had thought of. Crew 2, I'll give everybody insight on Crew 2. They're amazing. They're great. They're an awesome team. They won the championship 4-1. The Eastern Conference semifinal was amazing. They gave up a goal at the end of the match went 2-2 in extra time, went down 3-2 in the first 15 minutes of extra time, scored twice in the second extra time to win. So they're a team that, like, you know, the x-ray of the lungs, they got the dog in them. I know the crew too has the dog in them, but that final was not a fluke. Them winning four, the Eastern Conference final was more of a fluke. The final was not a fluke. It was them beating a team. The only goal that happened, I don't know if you saw the highlights of anything. The only goal that happened is the goalkeeper for Crew 2, who won goalkeeper of the year, had like a Steve Clark moment. Some guy came up and tackled the ball away, tapped it in for a goal. And that was 3-1 at that point. And then Crew scored another one. So even that goal wasn't even like St. Louis was challenging or making it tough. Crew 2 won goalkeeper of the year, golden boot, MVP, coach of the year, and four of the 11 spots on the best 11. Crew
that's,
2 did.
That's domination.
But let me tell you why. First, this is no discount to Laurent Courtois. He's been in the Crew's academy for a while. He played professional over in Europe. He is from France. So he didn't just have coffee in Europe. He's lived in Europe and he played for like Lyon and he's played for teams overseas and stuff. Like he's done it. He's lived like that European, you know, life and stuff. And his team loved him. They really came together, a group of really likable players coming together. Also, compared to the rest of MLS Next Pro, Crew 2 were the class of everything behind the scenes too. So yeah. They hired a GM, Corey Ray. They hired him like a year before the league started to be the GM for Crew 2. They were doing, they were recruiting players or they were scouting players months and months and months before any other team even cared about their MLS Next Pro program. They brought in guys like Mo Farsi, who was Canadian Youth Player of the Year. They brought in Jason Russell Rowe, who's a part of Toronto's academy for years. They brought in Marco Micheletto, who played in the USL Championship for years. They scouted their asses off. They had the best facilities. They treated their team like a professional team, where some other teams, they were using like one of the teams used like a comms person as their goalkeeper coach. Other teams saw their MLS Next Pro team as just another academy team. The Crew were actually the only team that took it seriously. They're the only team that really put the investment into it. I think in 2 or 3 years, when other teams catch up, it's going to be a lot more even. But Crew 2, they did so well because they're the only team that cared this year. I think they're the only team, like other teams cared. I'm not saying it that way. I'm not saying they were beating a lot of like schmucks or anything like that. But they put the investment in when other teams are still building up their investment to it.
Right.
Sure. And if you see like the Ohio Health Performance Center, it's amazing. They share the same facility. The fields are immaculate. They get, you know, they had a covered dome to practice in at historic Crew Stadium in the winter. They have amazing facilities, their own locker room, stuff like that. Other teams don't have that kind of stuff. So it's no shock that they did so well. But I don't think that's an automatic, oh, make him the MLS coach, because the personalities of a first team player, Cucho's personality is much different than Jason Russell Rowe's personality. Like you're dealing with like the top of the top. And I think Laurent Courtois, I think he has definitely has the fortitude to do it. I think he's going to be an MLS coach or a pro coach at the top level at some point, but I don't think it's a rush to put him there because I would hate for him to move up. And then it's not as fun as people remember with, oh, the Cappies, and this is great, and we're having fun because we're winning all the time. It's not fun when you start losing. And if people turned on Caleb Porter the first year he was hired, I feel bad for the next coach who comes in. I don't know, like, unless you splash money on a name, going back to the Crew team, like, I don't pay enough attention to the coaching carousel to know much, but who's better than Caleb out there? Like, I'm trying to think of a coach that will come to MLS. Who's better than Caleb? 2 MLS cups, has won at every level he's coached at. I don't know, man.
Jurgen Klinsmann.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jurgen Klopp. I would bring Klopp here. If the seventh, I'll take 6 years. I'll take 6 years. I mean,
he's, he's coached at a club with the same colors before.
Hey, Patrick Murphy, I will not quit Massive Report if Jurgen Klopp.
Thomas gets to interview Jurgen. Yeah, he's sticking around. So, but
can I just get a hug? Can I just get a hug, Jurgen?
Do you need a bodyguard? I'd take a bullet for you. One thing that I will say, Thomas, if people do think Laurent Courtois is the correct choice for the Columbus Crew, they should, of course, use the hashtag that I created earlier, hashtag Cappy, the number two crew. Anytime they tweet about Laurent Courtois, let's get that trending, folks.
We're going to get it. Yeah, it's going to be a trending topic on Twitter here real soon.
All three of our listeners.
Yeah. Thanks, Felix. And then Felix, who accidentally pressed play twice. Oh, we love everybody in the BAM fam. We love you all very much. Especially you, Felix. You're my favorite. Don't tell anybody else.
This isn't public. So... I think now we should move on to the favorite part of the show for most people. This is the part where you, the BAM fam, get the choice, get the option to tell us what you want us to talk about on the show. So we solicited your questions this afternoon. You were, I believe, threatened with violence. Violence in a way, like if we get ample questions, we'll answer them. That's its own form of violence.
It's veiled. Yeah, for sure. There's a veiled threatener there.
So we did get a good amount of questions. So we're going to go ahead and answer them. Did you post anything on Instagram?
Hell no.
Yeah. Fuck Instagram.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg, take this podcast and shove it.
You can go to hell, Zuckerberg.
You can go to hell and you die. You go to hell and you die.
He's totally listening to this right now. So,
oh, for sure.
We'll start
with... He doesn't sleep, that guy.
No.
Look, I'm a normal person. I'm at a barbecue. I'm having friends over. Everything here is very normal.
Human.
I am human. Mark, you haven't blinked in a few hours. All better. Blink. Look, my eyes are now saturated because I have real human eyes.
Real tears. His little assistant guy comes up and like spritzes water in his eyes.
No, he takes real baby tears from a little dropper and drops it from his eye tear ducts. Look how young and youthful I am. These are baby tears because I am a baby human.
I'm baby.
I am baby.
We'll start with the previous guest and all around good folks, Soccer Noob.
Hey,
at Soccer Noob USA, good podcast. Give it a listen. Soccer Noob and Person Noob, both good
folks. Soccer folk. In the Noob SA. I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
Keep on soccer noobing in the free world.
Keep on noobing in the free world.
That's much better.
Thank you.
I wish I could listen to that song, but
alas. Well, you could if you're on Apple Music. Oh, by the way, I bought tickets to see Jeff Rosenstock and Laura Stevenson, and they're going to be playing their Neil Young cover EP, which actually do it folksy. They're not doing it like it's not a punk show or anything. It's called Jeff and Laura. It's just I'm going up to Detroit 18 days after Brian Lepik's hip surgery, so I'm hoping he's okay. I told him it's not like a full punk show, so it's not going to be like jumping around and stuff, but hopefully we can hang out. If not, I will drive to Detroit alone and I will go to that concert by myself because I am very excited about that. But they're going to be playing Neil Young songs from their EP, and it's a pretty good album EP if you haven't listened to it.
You can hear more about Thomas's concert on the Merch Booth podcast.
We'll talk about that at the end of the show when everyone clicks off.
So, Soccer Noob first got a few questions here. What is the over-under on MLS playoff games BAM hosts will watch? I'm gonna set the over-under at 0.5 MLS games.
I was gonna say 0.5 also. I'm heavily taking the under on that one. taking the under for sure.
The only way I'm watching an MLS game is if I go to a bar and it happens to be on, and even then I'm not really watching it. But
yeah, you can't say we're watching that.
If I look in its general direction, does that count?
No.
So we're gonna go with the under on 0.5 then for MLS playoff games.
Hell no.
How big a hit on black market sale prices does a kid take once hitting teenage years?
I think you definitely lose a little bit once they've hit teen years. My oldest just turned 13 over the weekend. So yeah, it's definitely has taken a hit. Yeah.
You can check it out on Transfer Market.
No, that's not funny.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Just kidding. It is kind of funny because we're joking and we would never do that. I love my kids.
Your kids are awesome. All kids are awesome.
They are.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah. Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
What is flavor life after pumpkin spice?
Peppermint.
Peppermint, right? Like yeah, you move peppermint. Into the Christmas season, you get peppermint or I don't know. Whatever, like gravy.
Peppermint's good. Yeah. Even like pumpkin pie lasts until Thanksgiving and stuff. So we have until the end of November for pumpkin. I drank a pumpkin beer tonight. So I think it's still going to, we're going to keep on keeping on with pumpkin until capitalism Christmas comes in and crushes it like a bug. Although after Halloween, I already saw some Christmas stuff up at Meijer a couple weeks ago. So I might buy peppermint stuff just to piss off the calendar folks, the calendar watchers. It's not December 1st yet. You know, ACAB to all cops, even calendar cops.
Amen to that. We're putting our tree up November 1st.
Hell yes.
We've already got our tree. We bought one. It's going up November 1st.
Let's get it, man. I shared this before, but man, I used to be such like a calendar snob and stuff like that. But I think the pandemic, 2020, yeah. I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Who cares anymore, man? Who cares about any of this stuff?
We were like, so I remember Alyssa and I were so depressed. We're like, we haven't had a Christmas tree in years because of cats. And we're like, you know what? We're buying a damn tree and we're putting it up. We put it up like November, early November for sure. And we're like, we're enjoying this thing. We may not take it down till like February.
Who cares, man? Like Michael Jordan said, you know, fuck them cats.
Indeed. So yeah, I think peppermint or gravy, I think is the
peppermint gravy. Eggnog?
I can do eggnog if it's got enough bourbon in it.
I haven't been a big like eggnog fan, but I haven't really tried it much either. I think this year I'm going to really go headfirst into the nog.
I haven't tried eggnog since I was a kid. I'm just assuming I would like it if I had enough bourbon. I didn't have it as a kid with bourbon, but I mean, it might be one of those things where
didn't caves.
I mean, my house was a little interesting, but you know, I mean, if you just pour me a glass of bourbon and put a splash of eggnog in, like I'll drink it. Why not? Felix wants to know, what's your most coveted jersey/kit in your closet?
I think I'm wearing mine now.
Nice.
I think I'm wearing mine now. I've had Liverpool kits and stuff and crew kits and all that stuff, and I bought a few mystery kits, which are kind of cool. I like the mystery kit thing, but I bought this Chris kit from Community Refugee Immigration Services. Yeah. My gosh. So we've done stuff for them before. I raised money for Iran last year and I raised a couple thousand for them. And
did you run so far away?
I ran so far away. And then also I've done like ticket blasts on Twitter all season. Like, hey, donate your tickets this year. Donate your tickets. And then there was actually before the match in Charlotte, like a few weeks before, he was like, hey, if you want to order, we're doing jerseys. I just got an email from Jeremy Holland. It's like, it's going to be like $25 for a jersey. I'm like, duh, like, why not? And I thought, he said it'll come in a few weeks. And I thought, man, I'll be able to like probably wear this down to Charlotte. But I got it in the mail Saturday. I forgot about it after a while. It was one of those like cheap purchases, like price wise. And I'm like, oh, It'll get to me eventually. I didn't spend like $100 on it. I'm not like too upset about it. You know, it's $25. If I've probably blown more than that on much less, you know, fun things, but sure. Maybe it's recency bias, but it came in and it's this nice, like green, like a few colors of green. It has the Chris logo on it. It says Chris Community Connectors in the middle. The sleeves are black with like a green trim around the edge. Back of it, you can't see it, Brian, but the back of it, me and Pete came up with the idea of personalizing it. And it says Refugees Welcome on the back.
Oh, right.
On the top, as the nameplate, it says Refugees Welcome. And then it has 87, because Chris has been doing this since 1987. They've been helping folks in the greater Columbus area. So I love it. It's great. I'm going to wear it a lot. And I hope Austin comes to Columbus next year and I can wear this to the crew match against Austin just to make people look twice.
The green is also similar-ish to the mint kits that Charlotte did this past year. So you might get a couple do it when Charlotte comes to town too, especially if they decide to wear the mint, the black and mint kits, assuming they don't have new kits by then. May go over well. Yeah, if they do another run of those, especially if they're available to the public, I'm certainly going to get in on that because those are cool.
Yeah, the nice thing is like there's this I don't know if there's this final third foundation or something like that that has come up a lot. Like the crew has highlighted them and stuff, and they started to like come in on the international, like the Nations Cup that Chris has done for years and years. But this Final Third Foundation, it's this organization where they just focus on soccer. They only focus on like soccer and getting into like communities and helping communities and stuff. And it just brings soccer matches to people. It's not helping folks outside of soccer matches, but lately it's become like the big talking point around like charities. So I think it's easy for clubs to get into. Like the crew has even highlighted it a few times because it's easy when it says, oh yeah, soccer's great. But it's not easy to highlight a place that helps refugees and immigrants and has it in their name and talks about it, especially when you know the political leanings of the folks who own the team. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of sucks to see Chris kind of falling by the wayside and people thinking, oh, this is kind of like that. No, this is not like that. Like Chris is with people in their walks of life. Jeremy Holland, especially, the dude, like, it's not a job. He lives it. Like, everyone's calling him.
He doesn't sleep.
No. Kids come here from like all these other countries. It's like they get Jeremy Holland's number when they move to the country because they're texting him, they're calling him. He's helping people out, getting like supplies to people. Chris will help.
I've watched many a football match with Jeremy Holland as part of Columbus Spurs and sat next to him a number of times and seen his phone go off constantly
throughout
the match. If he's got it, you know, like sitting out on the table or whatever, like seeing it go on. So yeah, the dude, like, you can't say enough good things about Jeremy. He's been on the podcast. You can go way back in the Wayback Machine, and we've had him on twice, I think, to talk about Chris. So go back and listen to those and then go like run through a brick wall, because that's what it will make you want to do.
They're just amazing. So I really hope that like we're advocates for them. I try to talk about them as much as, you know, I can whenever it comes up on socials and stuff, but it's easy to take like easily digestible like nonprofits that maybe focus on one thing that you think is, oh, I like soccer and they're doing soccer stuff, so I'm gonna do it with them. But Chris does so much more, and I hope that just and then Jeremy's not somebody who seeks attention. He's not an attention seeker. The only time he's ever come on the show, because we've asked him, he's not out there trying to like, hey, look at me. He's not on Twitter. His social media, I think, is run by an intern at Chris, and they just post stuff about Chris. So it's just like, it's all net gain whenever he's involved and he's doing good stuff for people. So maybe that's why the jersey wasn't even public, because they're not trying to, maybe to a fault, not trying to be out there. And they could probably fund. I bought this for $25. You could easily sell this for $50, $60 bucks. Because they're selling the Nordic ones, the supporter supply ones who make this for like 60 or some bucks. You could sell this for 60 a pop and make all that money for Chris. And they don't do that. So maybe that's an avenue that they could go down. And
I'll buy one when if they do another run. I'm in to buy one until I have that, and that becomes my favorite. Mm-hmm. And Felix will appreciate this, especially since Felix asked the question. It's actually my most coveted, my favorite jersey / kit in my closet is not a soccer jersey or kit at all. It is, and Felix being a big Chicago sports fan, it is a Chicago Cubs jersey I had from when I was a kid with my all-time favorite player, Mark Grace, on the back. Mark Grace, first baseman for the Cubs in the 90s. And I got it when I was a kid, and I still have it. At some point, I tell myself, like, when I have somewhere to put it, I'm going to frame it. Like the back of it, just where it says like Mark Grace and his number 16. And so yeah, that's it's just like good memories associated with that. One of my dad's friends from Chicago got that for me when I was a kid, and it's just something I like love to wear. And then as I grew out of it, it was like, this is something I want to keep for the rest of my life, and it's like a very sentimental item for me. So for you guys, since we are an audio only podcast, you couldn't see that Thomas was visibly gagging as I talked about the Cubs. I know Felix, big Cubs fan. Felix, I know. Felix,
how dare you put that on him? He's a Sox proper.
I know Chicago he is. Fan. I know he is.
That's gotta love that crumbling at the end of the season that they did to the Guardians. Just like if Tom Petty was still alive, he would be belting out "Free Fallen." Looking at the standings over the last few weeks for the Shy White Sox.
And I'm free.
And the Sox are free. Free falling. Okay, right. Next question. Let's do this.
Chicago local 134. Apple cider, better chilled or hot?
Hot. Hot apple cider. Come on, man.
I'm going to go hot as well. This time of year, it's getting chilly outside. Get you some hot apple cider. Felix asks a follow-up question to that, asks if we know the difference between apple cider and apple juice.
Apple cider isn't it more like the meat of the apple? It's thicker. It may be like, maybe not ferments, but you know what I'm saying? It kind of has more of a process behind it than just apple juice, which is probably just mostly sugar and a little bit of apple flavoring.
Yeah. I will give the explanation that I know where he's going with this. He's making a Simpsons reference. He even includes a picture in the question of Ned and all his family in apple hats when they're talking to Homer. The correct response to this question is, if it's clear and yellow, that's juice there, fella. If it's tangy and brown, you're in Cider Town.
Next question. I feel dirty.
Another one from Felix. If given the opportunity, would you volunteer to go live on Mars?
No.
Yeah, I saw The Martian. No, I'm good.
There was good a movie. Martian they found? Oh, The Martian.
No, the movie with Matt Damon. Speaking of Boston. Matt Damon.
We got to hit the question from G in there.
Oh yeah, G did ask a question, but didn't include it in the thread because.
Yeah, they did.
Oh yeah, it's in there. I'm getting to it. I'm going through the questions. Okay. Also, that makes me think of one of my favorite Bowie songs. Is There Life on Mars?
That's a good one. Last summer, I think it was 2020, when I would go on walks like outside in the summer. Like David Bowie is just like my favorite to listen to.
Oh yeah.
Just put on his like essentials playlist. I just want to hear the hits, man. Just give me the hits. That was one of them.
Good song. Matt Morris 220. Good old Matt Morris wants to know, shawarma or gyro?
I don't think I've had shawarma, so I'm gonna go gyro. I have to go gyro by default.
Both are delicious, so I'm gonna say both. Nashville or Korean style fried chicken?
I'd have to do Nashville style chicken.
Yeah, like I don't think I've had Korean style fried chicken. I don't think I have either, so I have to.
Yeah.
I like Korean food, but I don't think I've had Korean fried chicken. So yeah, we'll go with Nashville. And speaking of, I'm gonna use this to plug Hot Chicken Takeover. If you're interested in opening a franchise in the greater Charlotte area, give me a call.
You get your own damn hot chicken. Get your hands off my chicken. All right, here. If you want it so bad, why don't you move back up here? You ain't going to do it.
No, I'm not going to, but I miss that chicken. Obviously, Matt says, obviously, I love the crew, but I also want to support my local sides. The issue I have is one is garbage and just seems content to only exist, while the other one has partnered with FC Cincy. What should I do?
Matt, I think you should pick the team that you feel in your heart of hearts, and then maybe do something to maybe increase the notoriety of that team. Put your all into that team and support them like a team would, you know, a crew would be supported, and ignore the naysayers. Who cares if other people aren't doing it? As long as you're doing it and you're looking yourself in the mirror every night, and you can fall asleep. Then you're doing something right. And by the way, I did meet Matt at the Cappy Cup on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Which is cool. I met Matt, a little baby. I was there with J-Mo. Jay had to get some snacks because God forbid he sit down for 30 minutes without eating something at a sporting event. So same. I went and got some snacks. I'm not like I can just sit there and never get up, and I'm fine for the hours that I need to like sit there. I'm good. I don't like need to get food. I don't need to get drink. But my son is not me. My oldest is like me. She's been like that since she was like 5 or 6. She'll sit there. She's like, no, we can't leave. We don't need to get up. I don't need to go to the bathroom. Let's sit here and wait. But I met Matt and this kid. It was real great. It was nice to meet him. It was kind of awkward because before I met him, like we messaged on the BAM account on the messages, and it was like, hey, I'm by the team shop, by the Dirty Frank's hot dog stand by the team shop. And as I'm waiting for him, I see another guy named Matt who I knew from, you met him in Indiana. Him and his mom were at Indiana for the Liverpool match. Yeah. I met him the year before in Ann Arbor with my nephew Preston. We met him and he was walking. I knew he worked for the crew. I completely forgot until he walked out of like this area. And I was like, Matt, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And I was talking to him for like 30 seconds. Then the other Matt comes up and I was like, Matt, this is Matt. And then I'm trying to talk to both of them and they both have the same name. And after like 2 minutes, I bailed. I was like, oh, I got to get him back to his seat. I blame my kid. Oh, I got to get him back to his seat. Cause I told Matt later, like it was really awkward. I didn't know what to do. So I bailed. So hopefully Matt, we can meet and talk proper, but it was cool to at least, you know, see you in real life. And you can see that I am just as unimpressive as I sound on this podcast.
You're very impressive, Thomas.
Quit it.
Matt also real quick wants to know, forgot to ask, when can we expect the next hit streaming service, Bryant and Me Plus Max?
I think the only Bryant and Me Plus Max is, I don't know, maybe the amount of help we need. I need Plus Max help.
I was going to ask who Max is. Like, it's Bryant and Me Plus Max. Who's Max?
I know a lot of Matts. I don't know any Maxes.
Max, we're gonna get the Max.
Oh, don't you Verstappen. Don't say Max. Max Verstappen. Get out of here with that garbage. I'm glad he won in Tokyo because nobody was awake to watch it.
And he clinched the.
Can we keep moving on?
John Corleone wants to know: should Tori Hooster be the next head coach for the Columbus Crew?
Let's do it.
YOLO. That is so
she is she plays for the Washington Spirit. She was also prominently featured in the ESPN E60 documentary. Truth be told, she was I at first I was like, why is she being interviewed for this? But she knocked it out of the park. She was awesome.
Fair enough. All right. Red Stars report, what is the origin of the word ample, and why did you choose to use it in this sentence?
Well, the word origin of ample is Latin from amplus, which was large, capacious, and abundant, or the words that kind of describe amplus in the Latin. So eventually went from Latin to French, turned into late Middle English, ample, meaning that large amount. We needed something larger. So ample was just a word that I really appreciate the history of the word So yeah, ample is what I wanted to use. Yeah, it's it needed to be adequate in size, scope, or capacity, which they did because we're doing them tonight. If not, our show would have actually been a listenable length.
Exactly. The aforementioned Janabel Castro G wants to know, when will the Bam Fam do a live show?
I don't think it's like the worst idea as long as you don't do it on Twitch. Because G on Thursday, G did it through Zoom. So we were on Zoom, but then had another program on the computer that just shot it over to like YouTube Live and Twitter Live. So we could, in essence, do one.
I don't know that we would inflict that kind of punishment upon the world. Like, some things you can't take back.
Some things you can't unsee. Yeah.
Yeah. I just.
You know what, Indiana Jones, when they open the Grail,
the Ark of the Covenant,
or they open the Ark of the Covenant, excuse me, and everyone, all the Nazis' faces melt off. I don't want your faces to melt off like a Nazi, although I am pro-Nazi faces melting off.
Yes, I thought you were about to say you're pro-Nazi. And I was
Brighton me. Pro face melting for Nazis.
I'm glad you finished that sentence. Final question of the night from Mike Hudson, Mike Slutson. Is Dream cute or not?
Did you hear anything about this?
So I didn't initially, when he initially posted that, I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Then I read the response and I did Google what this was all about, just because. And why?
This is like,
why is this a thing that exists?
Like, my kids love Minecraft streams. Why are like 37 million people caring about a Minecraft streamer who is streaming a video game? Why do people care about him showing his real face after he had like a mask on for years? Like, why? Like, I do appreciate Mike's response when I asked for more, and he said, and I quote, "You need to get out less." And I was like, "That's about right. That's about right." And then it even caused somebody who has like a search on Twitter set up. Glenn MC liked the tweet for Minecraft streamer, because this is a Minecraft YouTuber with 2.5 million subscribers. Like, come on.
And
get out of here with that garbage.
And me, it's not garbage.
I don't mind stream. I think it's cool that people do that and they can make money off of it. Maybe I'm just jealous.
That's 100% what it is. We go to like insurance jobs, like suckers. these people are out playing video games and streaming it and making money. And
born under a bad sign.
Yeah, why couldn't I be talented?
Oh no, don't do that. But we have two more questions that came in.
Oh, did I miss them?
Felix, do you have to hang your head in shame if your favorite players get red carded?
No.
Because Jocelyn Orihel, she had her second yellow. She saw red at the end of the Mexico-Chile match. Nah, it's a badge of honor. I think it's pretty cool. Depends on what you do though first, right?
Yeah. No, that's fair. No, I mean sometimes a red card is a good thing. I mean, yeah, rarely, but you know, it happens.
2 minutes, well worth it. And then Robbie has the last question. What is the most underrated Halloween movie? You can go first.
Underrated Halloween movie, Halloween related movie, so it has to be about Halloween. I'm gonna go with the Disney Channel original movie classic Halloween Town.
I haven't seen that one.
It's classic.
I've heard.
Have you seen Hocus Pocus 2 yet?
No.
Like, did you like Hocus Pocus? You've seen Hocus Pocus, right?
It is. Hocus Pocus is fine.
It was entertaining. I wouldn't go so far as to call it good, mm-hmm. by any means. I was entertained for the hour and a half or whatever that I, that we watched it while we were on vacation. And it was, you know, it wasn't too bad. Okay. For what it is.
Okay. I don't know if this is a Halloween movie at all. I know there are multiple camps on this one, but Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
That's an underrated, because if it's considered a Christmas movie, then it's an underrated Halloween movie. Because it is also a lot of elements of Halloween.
I think it's both. Like, people ask, is that a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie? I think it's both. Like, I think you can make a case that it's both. So I think you're safe to watch it any time of year, because calendars are stupid. Time is an illusion, lunchtime doubly so. As Douglas Adams said. Another one I'll throw out there real quick, just in honor of Frank, Ernest Scared Stupid. Frank, who submitted zero questions this week, by the way.
To be fair, we did cancel the 101 episode, 101 questions episode, and we have not attempted at all to reschedule that episode. So maybe we should.
He's one of the many victims of cancel culture.
Yeah, just like him and Richie Burke. He says that in the documentary, the NWCL documentary. He says cancel culture.
Of course.
And I'm like, you son of a...
No one that says cancel culture unironically is a decent human being.
The people, Richie Burke and Lisa Baird, former commissioner, look real bad in that documentary. Lisa Baird looks awful. Like, awful.
Because she is bad. She's a bad person.
It was a lot of like Richie and her like tail between legs type, the whole like, yeah. Richie was like, I didn't do nothing. I just yelled at some players and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like, this is just another element of cancel culture. It's just, let's get out of here before we go down another NWSL road. My Lord, we can't do this again.
No. Thanks for listening to us, guys. We appreciate it. We appreciate every time that you take the time out to listen to us. You can interact with us and maybe send us ask BAM questions for the next time we ask for Ask BAM questions. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? You can interact with us on social media. We're at Bryant and me on both Twitter and Instagram. Do most of our interactions on Twitter, but we post on Instagram now and then. You can interact with Thomas at One Thomas Costello on both platforms. Be on the lookout for the fantastic things that he's writing for the Columbus Sports Commission. Also, Grand Holy Land covering Ohio State women's sports this year. Going to be doing some big things. Hoops coming up. Going to be covering some soccer. Mm-hmm. Going to be doing some real cool stuff. You can also, and I don't think I don't know if the BAM fam has heard about this yet, you can check out another project from Thomas Costello and a previous Bryant and me guest host, Ryan Legg. Tell us what that's all about, Thomas.
So this show is not going to be like or is what Brian calls it, the podcast. This is not going to be a weekly thing. It's going to be like maybe once a month, depending on when we go to concerts and stuff like that. But if we go to a concert and we do something fun around it, we're just going to make a podcast about it. So we did the first one. We went and saw the band Sunny Day Real Estate. It was Ryan's pick. It's not my pick, but it was fine. It was like indies kind of rock music. And we went to this place called Mabel's. It's a barbecue place downtown Cleveland.
I've been to Mabel's. Chef Michael Simon. Yeah.
So it was, I've never been there before. So it was good. That was our first episode this month. We're going to Indianapolis to see this guy named Chris Farron, who's kind of like a punk kind of DIY guy. And then we're going to go to the Indy 500 Speedway the next day, because that's, I think, the only reason Ryan is going to Indianapolis for this concert is because there's a racetrack involved the next day. So we'll record about it and stuff. It's nothing too crazy official. It's just something fun that we do. If we can interview like an artist or something every now and again, if we go to a concert, talk to him for 10, 15 minutes, that's also cool, but it's whatever. In November, we're going to go to two concerts back to back. We're going to one, this band called Soul Glow, which is like a hardcore type of punks rap kind of band, which is pretty cool here in Columbus. And then we're seeing Streetlight Manifesto. Ooh. the next day in Cleveland.
Little ska, there we go.
And I go, yeah, we're on the ska show. So we're really mixing up the genres and stuff. And then December, I'm just going to that one concert, sans Ryan. So that's not even like a podcast episode. So it's just like, you know, if we go to a concert, we go to about one a month, it seems like at this point. So we both have the sick white male addiction of creating podcasts. So this is something fun. We can recap the concerts and have fun revisiting them. And it's a good time. It's a good time.
You guys, I know
it's not like Brian and me. It's no Bam Fam.
What is?
Right.
I know you guys post music recs seen on a weekly basis. So that's...
It's hard building an audience. So that right now it's just kind of like, okay, what can we post consistently that gets people? Like Bam Fam, we've been doing this for over 3 years now. So we've built, like, we're done building. We have not tried to build things in a long time. We have a really great group of folks who listen. You guys are honestly, like, this is not us joking or anything. You guys are awesome. Yeah. The fact that we get anybody listening and interacting and just being able to chat with you folks, even if it's sporadically, we haven't done an episode in like this 2 weeks we had off. And if we could just jump right in, ask for questions and feel like we're right back in it with everybody. So over there too, it is hard to build an audience. So we're trying, but also it's not a thing where we're not turning it into our jobs. We're not turning it into anything like that. If it gets bigger, it gets bigger. If it doesn't, it doesn't change the fact that we're going to go to concerts. It doesn't change the fact that we're going to do stuff like that. So it's just, you know, it already lines up with our life. We're not going out of our way to do stuff. It just, if anything, it makes us maybe appreciate the moments a little bit more and have something tangible to listen back to if we ever want to one day and to be like, hey, I remember that. That was really fun. Like at that Sunny Day Real Estate show, I saw people there I had not seen in 16 years. Like folks that I had not, like my wife's one of her best friends, she was in our wedding. I had not seen her in probably 10 years, 11 years. And she was there. A friend of mine's like ex-girlfriend, he was a best friend of mine for years. She was there. It was just like, I don't usually see folks at concerts, and it was just cool. I didn't go for the band. I went really because he wanted to go, and we kind of do that. If I want to go to something, he'll go. If he wants to go to something, I'll go. But just seeing folks that we knew from a long time, it was just kind of, it was kind of cool. So we documented that too. That was totally unexpected. Did not know until we got there. And it was just like, it blew my mind. It was one of those like small world type moments. Made me feel like I was living back in Canton. What? Raise the roof.
Raise the roof. So if people want to hear that.
Oh yeah. I should tell them what the show's called.
What's the name of the pod?
It's called The Merch Booth. You can call it. You can find it on Instagram and Twitter at Merch Booth Pod. And that's it.
Cool. Yeah. Definitely check that out. If you want to interact with me for some reason.
Oh no. Brian, stop it. Don't sell yourself short. You're an important person, and I think people would be lucky to have you in their lives.
That's very sweet of you to say. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Put the cue cards down, Brian.
Turn off the teleprompter now. You can follow me at Pickle Chip on Instagram, replace the I's with ones. You can follow me on Twitter at Pickle Chips with two S's.
Plural.
Also replace the I's with ones there. You please tell your friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, enemies, random people that you meet on the street. You guys know the spiel. Mm-hmm. Tell people about the pod if you want to. If you don't, whatever. I don't care. We appreciate it. Thanks for doing that when you do it. Please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your physical health as well as your mental health. Mm. Do the best you can. I know this tough time of year is coming up for a lot of people. The holidays are always difficult for a lot of folks. So be the person to reach out, check on folks, make sure your friends, your family, other people around you, make sure they're doing okay. Reach out, say, hey, ask them how they're doing, invite them to do something. Like, just keep in touch with those people. You never know what people are, dealing with kind of beginning this time of year. So be the one to reach out, or if you need help, be the person that, do the best you can, reach out for help. Mm-hmm. Wherever you need it, talking helps. Do the best you can. We're all in this together, guys.
Yeah, for sure. Good way to put it. Thank you. Adios.
We love every single one of you. Have a good week.
Bye.